Nova Metzia, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, 2-2. The previous Mishnah started out by asking the question, when you find something, which of the kind of things are you allowed to keep, and which of the things you have to announce, meaning you have to find the owner and do the mitzvah of Hashava Saveda. So our Mishnah starts out with that second point, Ve'elu Hayav L'Chachris. The following are items which, if you find them, you have to announce them, meaning you have to find the rightful owner if you can. And the rationale for all these is the same, like I said in the previous Mishnah. It's because you have to assume that the person who lost it has not given up hope yet of finding it. Therefore, it still belongs to him. And how would we decide whether or not the person has given up hope of finding it? The answer is, if it has simanim, if it has some way of being identified. If it does, then the person will not give up hope. He'll say, I'll be able to identify it and get it back. That being the case, if you find the following things, you have to announce them because they have a siman. And we'll see in the Mishnah, there are different kinds of simanim. Some simanim are siman aguf, the actual thing is got something unusual about it, so that would be the identifying feature. But sometimes you could have something less qualitative, like you could have something quantitative, like the number of items, or the weight of it, or the size of it. You could also have the makom, the place in which it was placed, could be a siman also. So let's see the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah says, Ve'elu chayav l'hachriz, the following things, if you find them, you have to announce them, trying to find their owner. Matza peros bakli o kli kamoshu. If you find fruit, or peros often just means, you know, grain, any kind of produce, in a container, or just a container by itself, the assumption is that a stam kli yeshbo simon, that a generic utensil has an identifying feature. Again, in the time of the missionary, things were not identical tupperwares one off the other. Each person was things were handmade, and they're breakable, and therefore they had sort of idiosyncratic features about them. So the point is, if you find something in a container, or the container by itself, since the container can be safely assumed to have some kind of idiosyncrasy, making it having a simon, you have to announce it, and the person would identify their particular container. If you'll ask, I understand the container, how do you know I have to give back the contents of the container? Maybe that doesn't have a kli, it's just generic grain, so it doesn't have a kli and would need to be returned. The answer is, that was, if you recall from the previous Mishnah, when I read the Pesukim, I said that besides for saying you have to return anything that your brother lost, it gives specific examples of a shor, a seh, a chamor, and a simla. So those will come teach us different things. And the chamor, the donkey, comes to teach us that if you find a donkey, and it's a generic donkey that has no simon, let's call it, but it has on it an ukaf, it has a saddle, and the saddle is a kli and has some sort of identifying feature. The point is, if you find the donkey wearing the saddle and the person who lost it can identify the saddle, you give back not just the saddle, but the donkey with it. That teaches you here also the same thing. You'll give back not just the container, but the container with the food inside it as well. And if you'll ask, if the first part of the Mishnah says, peros bakli, food inside a container, and because of the identifying feature of the container, you have to give the food as well, why teach the kli kamoshu, the container by itself? And the answer is that the Mishnah is sort of teaching like lo zuv af zu. It's not necessary, but it's speaking it anyways. Or if you find ma'os bakis, you find money inside like a container of money, like a wallet or something. Oh, bakis kamoshu, or you find just a plain old wallet, that kind of thing, or a bag. So then again, you have to return it. The idea is that the kis, the container that houses the money, like the purse or the wallet, is like another kli, it's handmade, it has some sort of idiosyncrasy to it, and therefore it has a simon. Same goes, now if you find tzibure peros, you find a pile of food. Now here, the food itself has no particular simon, because every wheat kernel looks the same, every apple kernel looks the same. The point is, if it's savur, if it's been placed in a pile, so that means it's been not derech nafila, it didn't fall somewhere like in the previous mission of like, you had like maos and peros that are mufuzar, that were scattered. Here, it's been placed down, and it, therefore the place in which it's put, the makom, is a simon all to itself. So if a person says, yes, I put down my, you know, my sack of wheat, but it was, you know, leaning against the date tree or something, so then the date tree would be the simon to identify the sack of wheat, and therefore that would be a makom. So if it's been placed down in a way it's identifiable, that would be a simon of a simon of a makom all to itself. And the truth is, even if you put it in like a public place where people are traffickers going, people don't step on food. They walk around it, so the place would stay where it is. Same goes with tziburi maos, like a pile of money. Same idea. It's in a specific place. There's a simon of the makom, the place, and that would be sufficient to identify it. Or if you have shlosha matbaos, ze al gav ze. Here you have three coins stacked on each other, like in like a particular formation, so it's like a pyramid type formation. The point is, that tells you these three coins were stacked, and presumably they were stacked in this way, there's three of them. So now, even if the Torah paskins, even if you don't have a particular place, but there you can just identify the number, there were three in that sack, or four in that sack, so then that would also be considered to be a simon, and therefore when you find the stack of money in a particular configuration, so then you'd have to announce it, because the person who loses it can announce that I lost money stacked in this way, and that would be a simon. Rashi seems to learn you need to give both the number and the location, but the tour, well, I guess Allah is like, probably, says the number alone will be sufficient. Krichos b'rshus ha-yachid, if you have like sheaves that have been bound together, like of wheat, but they're in a, here b'rshus ha-yachid doesn't mean specifically someone's private property. To the contrary, if you find something in someone's private property, you can't touch it because it's not lost, it's theirs. But if the point here is that you find it in not b'rshus ha-rabim, meaning there's no traffic really, here, there's no reason to think people would have trampled on it and made it lose its simon or location. So then that would be the location, or the way in which it was tied could be a simon, and that would be sufficient to require it to be announced. V'ki karashel bal habayis, in contrast to the previous mishnah where we had bread that came from the bakery, which was all exactly the same. If it's homemade bread, so each loaf of bread is a little different, made with love and care, and the person who made it could identify exactly how they, you know, put the sprinkles or do the braiding or whatever the story is. V'gizei tzemer halakuchos mebeis ha'uman. Everyone who shears their wool gives it to the dyer, who will then dye it all. You know, like, let's say, even if everybody wants the same blue wool, and there's, you know, dozens of these, you know, outside of the dyer's house, there's, you know, dozens of these containers, sacks of wool that have been dyed blue. The point is, the assumption of the Mishnah is that the person doing the dyeing wants to make sure that they don't get mixed up, one person's wool with the next, because everyone's wool is a little different in terms of quantity, and therefore they would sort of tie the edge of it in some sort of idiosyncratic, recognizable way, like with a different, you know, different kind of knot. Think about the way, you know, when you, everyone brings their white shirts, which are sort of identical, let's say, to the dry cleaner, but the dry cleaner puts like staples your initials into the shirt to know who belongs to which shirt. So the same idea here. The wool would have some kind of identifying feature. So if you find this wool, you could basically go back to the dyer and say, listen, I found wool with this knot. Please look in your notebook who it belongs to, and they could be identified or something like that. Okay? Also, kade yain v'kade shemen. If you find a jug of wine or a jug of oil again, the person who makes the jugs, you know, puts their stamp in it or something, so the jug has some idiosyncrasy, has some sort of way to be identified, and therefore if you find the jug or of wine or oil, again, you have to announce it, they'll be able to identify their stamp. Worthy of note, says the Gemara, if it's, you know, some guy's winery, and he has 100 jugs that are the same, which he sells to the local, you know, shops to sell his wine or whatever, if it's in the season and there are lots of the same jugs circulating, that would not be a simon. But the assumption here is that it's not in like a season where there's lots of identical jugs floating around, and therefore the private jug of this private person would be a feature that would be a simon to allow him to get back his jug of wine or oil. And therefore all the things we listed in the Mishnah, hare elu chayv l'hachriz, those are the things you need to announce, putting up a note or something to find out who the rightful owner is, let him give his simonim to get his lost object back.